The Geek News Central Podcast, Friday, February 4th, 2005. Aloha, everybody, and welcome to the Geek News Central Podcast. And as a quick intro, I want to introduce the professor.
Yes, that is correct. The molecular structure of the atoms within the atmosphere causes... Oh, hello! Hello, do come in. This is the Geek News Central Podcast, coming to you from historic Ford Island in Honolulu, Hawaii. Hee-hee!
I hope you all liked that. That was courtesy of Potsy over at RadioDaddy.com. And hopefully we'll get a bunch more sweepers from that website. It's a great resource to check out. And for those of you that are looking for some intros for your podcast, go over to RadioDaddy.com and put your request in and share and share alike. Hello, everyone, and aloha, and welcome to the podcast. It's Friday, February 4th, and as always, I am your host, Todd, and we're coming to you almost live. But anyway, hey, it's been a great week. I've had, it's been a typical work week where you get to work and you're getting so engrossed in things going on that you look up at the clock and it's 5 p.m. already, so the week has been very full, and I've been very busy, which is good, makes the time fly. And but I've kind of developed a little bit of a carpal tunnel syndrome. I've got it kind of bad in my right hand, so I've been doing a little massage therapy on it in the evenings, and I bought some of those pads and stuff that you can use to... eliminate, you know, basically get a little bit better posture on your arm. And hopefully I can work through this over the next couple of days. Kind of comes at a bad time, but I've been doing a lot of typing, a lot of research and that stuff, so I guess it was bound to happen. A couple of things real quick. Those of you that are out there that are using Skype, keep an eye on your, you know, inbox, because they have been sending out invites to the voicemail service that they are offering. And the way they're working that is every person that they give an invite to, they also give them, kind of like Gmail did, a couple of giveaway accounts. So we hope that if you get a Skype voicemail account that you would really think about me and send me an invite, because I really would like to have one of those Skype voicemail accounts to try out. I've been having a little problem with my broadband connection here at the house, and I called Time Warner here in Hawaii and said, hey, the download speeds are good, but for some reason the upload speeds are just absolutely horrendous. Can you check it out and let me know what's going on? And they tested the line and did everything they possibly could, and I run their speed check, and for the life of me, it just... is not working good. I'm getting about 10 to 15K speed uploads, and when you're trying to upload 60 megs worth of podcast every 3 or 4 days, it extends my production time considerably. We used to get a good 60K on the uploads, and it just hasn't been happening that way recently. And I hope when they come next week to check it out, they find a way to get the speed back up, or I may have to look at an alternative solution, like adding a DSL line or something. I don't know, but it's not good right now. While I had them on the phone, I was asking them about their tiered service, because I heard in some markets they're starting to roll out a higher tiered level service. Basically, you can pay, and let's say, an extra $20 a month, and you get more up and down speed. And the lady told me something that I found fascinating. She goes, well, here in Hawaii, they're going to do just the opposite. They're going to offer a lower speed plan. Apparently, this is kind of their way of trying to get into more of the dial-up accounts that are still left over here, because a lot of people just check email and they don't need the broadband. So they've done some market surveys and have found that some people just don't need the speed. So they're going to go ahead and offer that before they offer the higher tiered service, which I thought would be completely strange. And one thing I did find out was they've rolled out voice IP service island-wide. But what I was kind of shocked was the price of it was $39.95. You know, come on, guys. You know, if you're going to compete with the phone company. And my landline that I have with Verizon, and I don't have any of the extra features because I got a cell phone that has all those features, but all the features that just a straight phone line on my, the regular landline is like $20. You know, no one needs a long distance on their landline anymore because we all use our cell phones to call long distance. So I don't understand what they're thinking about. So $39.95, unlimited long distance, you get all the features, caller ID, the whole nine yards, plus a 808 area code. And I guess that's where they're going to make out, because Vonage does not have 808 service over here. Now, I want to congratulate John Jenkins, and he did not leave his email address. So, John, you need to send me your email address, and you told me something in particular at the very end of your voicemail. I need to have you comment on what that was so that I know it's the same guy, because I didn't really get a... you just call the voicemail line, and I'll know what your voice sounds like. But call the voicemail line, leave your email, we'll get you your $20 prize. And his suggestion was that the intro to the podcast was pretty lame. So he thought we needed to spice our intro up, and I have a tendency to agree. We're going to go ahead and spice the intro up. I'm going to be working actually with a commercial producer, and we're going to actually come up with a nice intro for the system that is for the podcast that is professionally put together, and we're real excited about that. And hopefully by the next show we may have some samples to try for you. Now, I was listening to a podcast yesterday, and the guy kept referring to my website as TechNewsCentral.com instead of GeekNewsCentral.com. And this is about the third or fourth time that I've heard this over the last couple of years. And so I just, on a kind of a whim, I went over to GoDaddy.com and checked and see if Tech News Central was available, and sure enough it was. So I went ahead and scooped that up. So Tech News Central and Geek News Central all point towards the same site. Not that we're going to change any names, but at least there be any confusion by anyone in the future. All right, Star Trek fans, I'm sorry. You know, it's been a long run, but Star Trek Enterprise will come to an end following the airing of a as-yet-untitled series finale on May the 13th of 2005. So it's been a long run for this new Trek series, and sorry, this is it. They're canceling it. It's gone. So, Trekkies, I know you're all crying today, so I don't necessarily mourn with you, but my heart goes out to you. I know how dedicated the majority of you are to the Star Trek genre. Now, I did find some cool pictures up on the JPL.NASA.gov website, actually MarsRovers.JPL.NASA.gov. You know, the old rovers are out there and they're still performing the way they were attended to, and actually it's starting to become longer days there again. So the solar panels are starting to get a lot more battery charge, and they've been trekking all over the plains and doing all kinds of stuff and sending all kinds of pictures continuously back. And they've got a real nice mosaic up on the website, so I'm going to put put the link up to this mosaic. It was put up on February 1st, and I think you'll enjoy it. It's nice to see that the old rovers are out there still doing a good job. Microsoft launched their Microsoft Network search engine, the new search engine, with the XML support. So you can go over there and you can come up with a search term that you want to check on a regular basis. You go ahead and create that, put your search term in there, hit search, and then you'll notice at the bottom left-hand page of the MSN search window is an XML button. Go ahead and subscribe to that RSS feed, and from now on, you can run those searches right in your weblog. You don't even have to go back to the website. There was a little bit of moaning and complaining about the way the site, they really didn't do any improvements to the interface, and it kind of looks pre-Yahoo-ish. Because, you know, you look at Yahoo's website now, and the primary website, and they have a toolbar up there that is full of features. But the Microsoft stuff is pretty plain. It looks like someone just drew this out on a piece of paper and submitted it to an engineer. But congratulations to Microsoft for their new launch on this site, and hopefully it does fairly well, and we'll see how it competes with Google. We will all be watching. Along with that, Feedster, they've got a facelift, and go ahead and check out Feedster's site. They've got some new things up here. It's basically they got a latest search category, and they have a real nice setup in a way the way they did the skin, and it looks really good. So check out the new Feedster.com. And the reason I'm pausing here in between articles is we're having a little problem with the PC. Last show, I had to go in and actually cut. This is the second time this has happened. But it seems like every time I change an article, I get a little pausing with my audio recorder, which is causing skipping. It's causing my voice to sound like it's chattering. So we haven't got to the bottom of it yet, and hopefully I'll be able to hear in the next couple of days. Maybe I just need to defrag a hard drive. I don't know. There's a columnist from the Financial Times, and he's writing every day in his... He basically puts out... he writes every day for the Financial Times, excuse me. And he reads several blogs for trends, and he basically looks at fund managers and analysts and venture capitalists and researchers to find out the latest trends. It seems that these guys, at least the top seven that he says he reads on a daily basis, have a tendency to give him news about what's happening in the world of tech, what's going to happen in the financial market. So I've added all seven of these weblogs, even though they're kind of dry in places, to my search to my RSS aggregator. And those of you that are interested in trends and that type of stuff, you might want to also. So I have the link up to the article that pointed to this, and I'll also have the Yahoo News article up on that shows the actual links. Now, some of you, I know, are real hardcore music listeners, and you buy a lot of music on Apple iTunes, or you buy them via Rhapsody or some of the other music sales sites. And I know a lot of you look for new artists or related artists to music that you are trying, you know, something that you know, if you like a certain type of rock and roll or you like a certain type of band, you always want to buy, you know, I go looking for music at times that's like a different band. But there's a new search engine out there called Music Plasma. It lets you search on any band or artist, and it returns a family tree-like display with other brands or musicians closely related to the original search term. Thanks for Josh Rubin at Cool Hunting. This is a great, great site, and I had fun playing with it today a little bit. You know, I'm a big-time AC/DC fan from back in the day. So I did some searching on AC/DC, and I come up with some pretty cool links. Some of the bands I were familiar with, some I weren't. But what was a nice thing is it linked me to areas where I could go and find their music. Good to go. And by the way, I am still standing firm, and I am not buying any music from Apple iTunes at this time. Those of you that have weblogs out there, always try to create successful blogs. There's a real good article out about the four pillars of blogging. And I've talked about some of these type of articles in the past, but the four that they've got up listed talks about content, communication, credibility, and community. I think community is probably the most important part of this article. And he basically talks about, you know, like you get a core group of readers, you get a core group of bloggers that read your site, and, you know, you read theirs, and you cross-post, and you kind of watch what each other is saying, and you build this content together almost. So those of you that are out there that are web bloggers, and check out this article. I think it's going to be worth a read. A little long, but, you know, worth the 5 or 10 minutes it's going to take you to get through it. A little bit of new stuff going on in net security-wise, and I'm going to be curious to see how this all plays out. The security article is from eWeek, and it talks about, and here's the headline, it says, first was phishing, next is farming. And farming spelled with a P-H-A-R-M-I-N-G. And basically what they're expecting to happen, and they're suspecting that the mass mailing companies produce some software that basically when a computer gets hijacked now with the phishing scheme, F-H-I-S-I-N-G, the phishing scheme, or actually with a P, excuse me, what happens is that the computer itself becomes a SMTP server, and it computer is a zombie, and it just sends mail out itself. But because applications are getting smart and shutting those types of functions down, this farming scheme, what it does is it goes into your computer, does the same thing, it hijacks or makes your machine a zombie, and then it will go and look and see what you have set up for your mail services settings in your mail program, and it will pull out your ISP's SMTP server. So what's going to happen now is through your machine, it's going to send massive amounts of email to your SMTP server of the ISP that you're connected to, and then your ISP is going to be sending spam in your benefit, or in the benefit of your machine. You know, most ISPs trust computers that are on their IP networks. So I'm going to recommend that if your ISP has the functionality to enable basically authentication, SMTP authentication, that's where your email program physically has to log into the ISP service first before it's allowed to send mail. I would encourage you to enable it, and if you're an ISP out there, you better put authentication in place, because this is coming, guys. And as soon as it does, and if you're a small-time ISP or you're a small-time, you have a web server that's not locked down and it gets hacked, you know, one of your customers gets hacked and then it's sent an email to your SMTP server, you're going to get blacklisted. And what that's going to do is it's going to shut all your email down. You are forewarned that this is coming. And there's a bunch of articles out on this today. And eWeek's got at least two. There was a link on LockerGnome about it, about ISPs need to keep moving against spam. And then this zombie trick, that's what LockerGnome writes. LockerGnome, excuse me. And this is something that I'll just read it directly off the LockerGnome website, and I want to thank Chris Prillo for having this up here. As it says, spam levels are about to skyrocket, according to experts who warn this week that spammers have developed a new way of delivering their wares. According to the Spam House Project, a UK-based anti-spam compiler of blacklist that blocks 8 million messages a day, a new piece of malicious software has been created that takes over a PC. This zombie computer is then used to send spam via the mail server of that PC's internet service provider. This means that junk mail appears to come from the ISP, making it very hard for an anti-spam blacklist. Making it very hard for an anti-spam blacklist to block it. So, you know, basically it's reiterating what I just said from these other articles. But, you know, it's in the news. Pay attention. It's coming. And luckily, the web server that I run, which we have had the interview with the creator and the owner of Wildcat Interactive Net Server, my domain email, or all my email comes into that server, and he has an anti-spam, basically anti-spam technology in there that I don't have spam anymore. I don't know what it is. Haven't seen it in a long time. Now, there's pretty shocking information coming out of the Kazaa court case. There's the internal documents that have been revealed so far is just extraordinary. And, you know, basically the company's chief technical officer showed that he was aware that Kazaa's activities were a huge legal risk. He also feared being out-innovated by other P2P services in that they weren't running spyware and they were inside their applications. And, it's pretty eye-opening, and it makes you wonder what's going to happen to them here. Well, I tell you what's going to happen. They're going to get slam dunked. You know, this is the type of stuff that you, you know, you might talk about it in shop. You know, if you're an employee or you're working at this company beforehand, you know, you don't put this in an email document that can be subpoenaed. Oh, my God, just unbelievable. Now, the Lindos founder, and that's right, I said Lindows, L-I-N-D-O-W-S. And if you guys remember, Lindows is now Linspear, has decided to start up a MP3 music store of their own. And what's going to be kind of cool about that, and you know I'm anti-DRM, digital rights management technologies, basically. They're not going to have any DRM in the music that they're going to offer for sale and download. So if they can get away with this and not have the wrath of the RIAA or the BMI or ASCAP or CSAC or any of these organizations that have put the finger on companies that resell music, hopefully we're going to have a pretty cool service there. So I like no DRM. I think DRM is bad. So good. We'll see what happens with these guys. See if they do if they will do a good job. There was a worm that hit MSN Messenger, and really it just like any of these other worms that attack some of these programs, just be careful. Someone's going to send you a picture or something and you don't know who that person is. You're setting yourself up for failure in that you're going to get a virus or a worm. So what's happening here is this is a variant of a worm that's called the Bropia, B-R-O-P-I-A, and it was discovered last night, or actually Wednesday evening, and it infects systems belonging to MSN Messenger by sending itself a picture of a roast chicken with tan lines to all available or online contacts, and then it reinfects it again with another virus or worm. So it's just bad, bad, bad. So don't accept something from someone you don't know who they are. Okay, there's an article in the Register that talks about how botnets are being used to strangle Google AdWords campaigns. And as many of you will notice, I added Google AdWords to our website a couple days ago. So far, medium response to that. I think it may actually cover our bandwidth cost on that particular server, or hosting cost. I hope it does. I'm not expecting a lot, but I don't really care for how the layout or how it's being, you know, where it is on the website right now. So part of our website redesign is going to give us some more room to put this type of on-site advertising. We're not going to put any advertising inside our RSS feed, so you don't have to worry about that. But we just need to be able to generate enough income to pay for the podcast hosting and also for the additional websites, or actually the additional hosts that we've had to put on to handle the high amount of downloads that we're seeing. But anyway, this it's basically Chinese sites are going out and they're going after keywords, and they're making the AdSense ad invalidated through a technique. Real interesting in what they're doing there, and it's basically being used to drive other advertisers click advertisements to the top of the page instead of someone else's. So kind of a unique way to kind of hack the Google AdSense system, and check it out. Read that up if you're a Google AdSense, if you do that kind of advertising with Google. Okay, we've been hearing quite a bit about the United States Congress balking at paying for Hubble repairs. Apparently, the estimated repair and mission to the Hubble with a shuttle would cost about $2 billion. And they're saying, no, we're not going to fix it. This money can be better used somewhere else. And just let Hubble fall into the ocean. So it's kind of sad if you think about all the stuff that Hubble has produced, and all the images and science. And I know that they're building another telescope, and it's going to be up at some point. But there's going to be a few years where there's going to be nothing up there. And they're saying that probably between mid-2007 and 2010, Hubble will go dark and silent. So we'll see. We got a few years, but not a lot of time. And apparently Congress has said no. So I'm sure those of you that are science buffs out there are disappointed. I am too. And it's just too bad. I guess we'll see how long the old bird stays up, and hopefully it survives longer. You know that stuff, you know, they come up with an estimated time stuff's going to die, and you know, look at the rovers. They're still out there kicking. Okay, there's a real interesting article in Wired that talks about search engine placement. You know, all of us that have weblogs or websites, our goal is to get in the top 10 search ranking in Google. And it's, I've read an interesting article here that talks about what that results mean in dollars and cents. I'm just going to let you go ahead and go over to the website and check that out yourself. But folks, if your website is not in the first three pages, you know, you're not doing the right thing, and you need to optimize your website a little bit. You know, I'll be honest with you, I have never used a website optimization firm. I've done it myself, basically by reading what's available online on how to make sure that your website is optimized to the best ability. I've used a submission service before, but nothing else. And we have pretty good placement in Google. Luckily, to me, it doesn't really matter because I'm not really selling anything. So, but I could use a 6,000% increase in hits. That would be kind of cool. I couldn't handle a 6,000% increase in podcast subscribers. I would be bankrupt. Any of you that are out there that are looking to get your sites in the top 30 results, and that is the top three pages, that is, 10 per page, you need to read this article, and you may need to invest some money with a company that can help get your search results up a little higher. Okay, what else we got here? There was an article on behind the scenes on how MSN search works, and I think it all is pretty, you know, for any of you that are at all technically inclined, or you understand how this how the MSN search bots and all that work. But those of you that are not familiar with how websites are updated and how they are able to index the information on websites, I'll put the link up for that and you can check it out. A couple days ago, actually it was yesterday, I made a comment on my website that was in reference to an article that was being written by Rick Hallahan, and he was going into the thought that there needs to be a Windows home server. And I'm kind of intrigued by the idea, but he went into a whole bunch of technical information on what the Windows Home Server would need. I don't think it needs to be that fancy for the average person, but here was my thoughts. In my home, I have 5 PCs, and they're all on the network, and at any given time, I use one of 3 of those, or any of 3. The other 2 are the kids. I don't get on their machines, but it irritates me when I leave my laptop, walk around to the other side of my office here and sit down at my wife's desk. I log her off her user account, and I log myself in on mine. Windows should be smart enough on a home network to replicate itself in all your settings. It should be automatic. And if that requires having a Windows Home Server that kind of does the queries for that and does the migration of information, PST files, data files, pictures, hard drive space is cheap, folks. You know, I've got 3 200 gig hard drives sitting here on the shelf that I picked up for like $60 a piece to 3 different sales. They're empty. I have a file server, that is sitting below my feet that has close to a terabyte of hard drive space on. You know, I've got some server space. And I know some of you out there maybe don't have such an elaborate setup in your home. That's understandable. Most people don't need it. But, you know, I'm kind of a power user, and I use these machines to their fullest capability. So, but it would be nice if Windows was smart enough to replicate itself and all its information. I use my own synchronization program to do that. It's one that I bought, that someone produced, and I basically, on a nightly basis, about 3 o'clock in the morning, it launches itself. It goes out on my server or out on my laptop, and it looks and says, okay, what's changed down there? And it sends the changes into my wife's computer, and then her computer does the same thing. It looks on her computer and says, what's changed? And then it updates the file server, and the file server itself then sends the final information into a FireWire drive. So I kind of migrate it step by step from my laptop to my wife's computer, from my wife's computer to the file server, and from the file server to an additional hard drive, which I rotate out every month. What that does is I'm guaranteed when I go over to the file server that everything that I have done, my wife has done, is on that machine and on that external hard drive. As far as documents, pictures, Excel spreadsheets, PowerPoint, you name it. Anything that is a document that I'm concerned about. Now, a lot of people say the only true way to back up is to back up by CD. And that's probably true too. But it's work for me. I know that on a daily basis my data is replicated. And I'm pretty sure that I'm not going to blow 4 hard drives at once. And if I do blow off 4 hard drives at once, then I'm only 1 month down on data because I've got a hard drive with data that's 1 month old sitting in a safety deposit box. But, you know, I implemented that myself. How many non-technical, non-geek people are going to do that? Not very many. So, hey, Microsoft, wake up, smell the roses, build this into your system, make it so I can go to my network window in Explorer. I can click the computers on the network that I want to be synced. If it has to go to a file server or to a Windows Home Server, whatever, I don't care. Just make it easy. Replicate all my information. Registry, all my desktop settings, stuff on my desktop, you name it. So that when I go over to my wife's computer, or she gets on my laptop, or do I go to my kid's computer, I can log in and have the same desktop settings. You know, that's the only way to do this. You know, let's be smart. You know, America is a country where there are more than one PC in a lot of homes today. Most people don't back up anything. You know, some people wake up in the morning and hear a noise or see smoke coming out of their computer because their hard drive has crashed and they've lost years of pictures. You know, it's worse than a house burning down. The data's gone. You know, those of you that are out there listening, if you're not backing up your data, you're a damn fool. Get your data backed up. And if you only have one PC, back it up to a CD or a DVD, depending on what you have. CDs are easiest. They're cheap. And I got stacks of CDs that I bought when they were on sale 2 years ago that I haven't used yet. just because hard drive prices have just become so ridiculously low. Back that data up, folks. And Windows and Microsoft, hey, produce me a Windows home server. I got a credit card I'm waving in the air. I will load that up on my file server, which is basically running Windows XP Professional right now. I can change that into a little home server. Go ahead and introduce those things that Rick Callahan suggested. Okay, we're 36 minutes in the podcast. I got two things for you. Nick Bradbury is going to be releasing FeedDemon version 1.5 shortly. He's in the final wrap-up phase of that right now, so that's going to be coming out very shortly. If you're a registered user of that, you will get a free upload as usual. Now, one of the things I talked about in that farming scheme, P-H-A-R-M-I-N-G, Netcraft has a toolbar that you can add. And I don't know if it's only for Internet Explorer or if it will work with Firefox too. But they have a toolbar that you can add to your desktop that kind of makes sure that when you go www.paypal.com, that you're really at PayPal and not another website. I haven't tried this. I heard good things about it. Check that out. And then hopefully they've got a version for both IE and Firefox. You Internet Explorer users need it more than we do. But what the concern is that hackers are going to be getting in, changing host files in the Windows machines, or actually tampering with DNS to redirect people to sites that they look like a PayPal or your bank. And when you try to log in, ba-bam, they've got your information, and they're hooking you up. My sister recently, about a month and a half ago, lost her wallet. Shame on her. She had in it all of hers, her husband's, her kids' social security numbers, all of her credit cards, a couple of different IDs, and you guessed it, that information got sold, and someone opened up a telephone account. So right now she is working with the credit bureaus to put a fraud watch on all those social security numbers, making sure that nothing else bad happens. Folks, don't carry your social security number in your wallet. Minimize the stuff that, you know, if you need a credit card or two, fine, put them in there. We all need our credit cards. Don't carry 10 credit cards. And don't carry 5 forms of ID. And don't have bank account numbers. You know, you name it. Passwords written, scribbled on the back of pieces of paper in your wallet. I know a lot of you do that. So watch it out there, folks. There are a lot of bad people that want your information, and they'll do anything to get it. And I feel like a little music tonight, and we'll kick something on for you here. While I'm getting this queued up, I want to thank you for listening to the podcast today. I'm Todd, your geek at geeknewscentral.com. And you can always Skype me at Geek News Central, that's one word, or send me an email, geek@geeknewscentral. Call or voicemail line at 619-342-7365. Again, 619-342-7365. And leave us a comment. Let us know how you like the show. And we appreciate you listening to us. We really do. Spread the word. Click on our Google AdSense ads when you visit the site. Help us generate a little money. Provide us some feedback. We really appreciate you, appreciate your comments and your time to listen to the show. This track comes from the Brad Sucks, www.bradsucks.com. And the song is Total Breakdown. He's got some great tunes on there. They are podcast safe, and they're free to download. Support him. Buy his album. And check it out. He's got a future in music.
Realize we can always, get by without it. And then I saw a sign, we'll
That was Brad from bradsucks.com. Hey, Professor, you still out there?
Yes, that is correct. The molecular structure of the atoms within the atmosphere causes... Oh, hello! Hello, do come in. This is the Geek News Central Podcast, coming to you from historic Ford Island in Honolulu, Hawaii.
All right, folks. See y'all later. And we'll have some new sweepers for you next week. Aloha, and mahalo for listening to the show. Bye-bye.